Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. Well, following the results of the Super Tuesday Republican primary vote, the Mitt Romney campaign is now suggesting that it's time for the Republican Party to line up behind him and focus on the real opponent, President Obama. But is it really all over already? To find out, I'm joined by Arthur Lupia. He's the Hal R. Varian Collegiate Professor of Political Science at the University of Michigan. Professor Lupia, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Mitt Romney now has 419 delegates. Santorum has 178 and Gingrich has 107. If we see Santorum and Gingrich stay in the race, is there a real chance that Romney won't be able to get to that magic number of 1,144 delegates?
There's a chance. I mean, Romney still has some built-in advantages. I mean, in addition to the delegates that he has, he was great after 2008 at keeping contact with people who he could hire. So he has a great ground force in so many states, which gives him an advantage. Santorum and Gingrich have been playing catch-up in that respect, and they're still trying to build campaign organizations in the states that are now being contested. So Romney still has some very big advantages.
With the numbers we're seeing with Romney now having over 400 delegates, do Santorum and Gingrich have any realistic chance of winning here, or is it just a matter of staying in the game and keeping Romney from maybe getting locked in on the nomination?
Yeah, I think that's the more likely scenario now, that between Senator Santorum, Speaker Gingrich, and Congressman Paul, they can deny a flat majority before the convention, which not only raises the specter of the nomination occurring at the convention, but also can give them some leverage when it comes to the platform and maybe some other things. So, you know, there's still some value for the three candidates not named Romney to stay in the race.
Is that something the Republican Party would really benefit from, to have this undecided situation going to the convention?
Well, it's, you know, it depends on who you mean by the Republican Party. And so I think that there is a kind of more centrist, you know, what maybe Gingrich has been calling the establishment recently, for whom this is not a good thing, and they'd like to wrap it up and get everybody behind Romney. But, of course, there are people in the Republican Party who think that there's not a great difference on many important issues between Governor Romney and President Obama. And so I think for them, the idea that there's still a possibility of bringing a true conservative as the nominee, I think for some people that's worth fighting for.
What do you think it would take at this point for either Santorum or Gingrich to drop out and put their support behind Romney?
Well, in part it's money, right? I mean, you know, at some point they might not be able to continue campaigning in a credible way. The super PACs have changed this, right? I mean, if we'd been playing under the 2008 rules and a lot of the other things were the same, you know, Santorum would have had a very hard time, you know, really after Iowa, because he didn't have any money, and Gingrich would have had an impossible time. I mean, were it not for two very large super PAC infusions, you know, around South Carolina, I mean, that campaign was in really severe financial trouble. So, I think that they can stay in it, but, you know, there may be some, you know, if Romney scores, I think, above expectation victories, and if he starts to make real moves in getting more support from Tea Party people, evangelicals, extreme conservatives, and so forth, you know, then Gingrich and Santorum might see the writing on the wall. But one thing we're still seeing in the polls now is, even over the last 6 months, Romney is not really making big gains with, like, evangelicals or people who, you know, see themselves as strongly conservative. And so I still think that gives Gingrich and Santorum some hope of maybe just blocking a clear path.
When you see the lack of support from social conservatives for Mitt Romney, what is that really based on? Are his positions really that different than those of Rick Santorum?
I think on some issues, right? I mean, you know, Senator Santorum has really been effective. I think he's been the main person pointing out the similarities between the healthcare policy that Governor Romney presided over when he was in Massachusetts and the one that was passed by the U.S. Congress. And, you know, if we step outside of the political arena for a second and just look at these things objectively, there are a lot of similarities. And given that so many people in the Republican Party and some other folks are uncertain about that the Obama health care plan or really against it, you know, Romney's credibility as being the guy who might take it down or at least, you know, significantly reduce it, he has a credibility issue there. And so I think Santorum has been good at pointing out, you know, and in other respects, Romney governed in Massachusetts, you know, kind of as a moderate, or as a, what a lot of people could see as a moderate. Now, granted, he had to deal with the Democratic legislature. But again, I think, though, if you add up things we know about Romney from the past, it does make a lot of conservatives, you know, really wonder, is he one of us?
I'm talking to Arthur Lupia. He's the Hal Arvarian Collegiate Professor of Political Science at the University of Michigan. We're talking about what's ahead in the Republican primary. Now, it's interesting that his Republican rivals have not attacked Mitt Romney on his disconnection from the vast majority of Americans and the fact that he is so wealthy. Are you surprised that they're not going after him for some of the gaffes that he's made and for the fact that he is so much wealthier than the rest of the public?
You know, I'm not surprised because for the other candidates in the race, it's a difficult argument to make. I mean, you know, Speaker Gingrich doesn't have the wealth of Governor Romney, but compared to most voters, Speaker Gingrich is very wealthy. So, you know, to some people, the difference between a net worth, I don't know what Gingrich's net worth is, but let's say it's $7 million and Romney's of $250, you know, if you're making, you know, $30,000 a year, those both look like big numbers. And so it's, I think that's a difficult argument to make. Plus, you know, in the Republican Party, the notion of free enterprise and really, you know, accumulating wealth through work and ingenuity and things like that is not, you know, is not high crime. In fact, it's to be praised. So, you know, I know that Speaker Gingrich more recently is trying to leverage some of the Wall Street protest language and talking about, you know, them and us and the 99%. But in the Republican Party, that's a hard message to sell because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they might not want the government to support the 1%, but there is still a big belief in free enterprise.
Republicans have, of course, been focusing some of their attacks on President Obama. When you look at the general election, where do you think the president will be most vulnerable to political attacks? Do you think the lackluster economy can be blamed on him?
Well, I think people will do it, right? I mean, you know, it's very hard, you know, to identify what parts of the economy are the responsibility of the president or not. But if gas prices are high and unemployment remains high, or, you know, gas prices spike up and the stock market goes down, you know, in the weeks or months leading up to the election, it's going to be very difficult for President Obama to tell a story about the success of the stimulus, even if, you know, economists were to agree that the situation would have been much worse had nothing been done. But at the same time, if, you know, the stock market's at 13,000 or 13,500, you know, a little higher than it is now, if gas prices are not too high with respect to people's expectations, and if there's a sense that people are getting back to work and American industry is growing again, President Obama will have a great time. You know, I think his story about, you know, an American comeback and the government's role in that will be more persuasive.
Well, you know, it is one thing when you have two new candidates from each party going up against each other, but it seems that voters and the American public have had a lot of time now to get to know the president and get a sense for what his policies are. Is that going to help him likely in the election, or have a lot of his positions and his attempts, I guess, which many of them, which have been blocked in Washington, are they going to work against him?
Well, that's going to be a key part of the narrative. I mean, if we can go back to 2008, you know, there are two things going on with the electorate. And one is they're deciding, you know, which side they're on. And another big decision that voters make is whether to turn out on Election Day. One of the untold stories about 2008 is, if I ask you, you know, why did Barack Obama win in 2008, and you could say, well, they recruited 9 million new voters. And they certainly did. But if you actually look at the precinct-by-precinct data, just suppose for a second that President Obama hadn't recruited a single additional voter than John Kerry did in 2004. So he just kept Kerry's vote. And then we compare that to the vote that John McCain got in 2008. In that scenario, Barack Obama is still the president of the United States. And the untold story there is that a lot of people who voted for President Bush in 2004 did something other than vote for John McCain in 2008. In other words, a lot of people stayed home. Barack Obama has the same vulnerability in this case, where people who were enthusiastic about him in 2008, they may not vote for Mitt Romney, but they may not turn out in the same numbers that they did before. And given how close some of the swing states were, that could be a vulnerability for him.
if you can, is there any idea of which maybe one or two states you think will be absolutely key in this upcoming election?
Ohio.
Ohio will decide it.
I think Ohio, I'm not sure Ohio will decide it, but Ohio is a big state with a lot of delegates, and it's very close. And Ohio's been, you know, was very close in the last two elections. It's a big prize. I mean, you know, we could talk about Florida as well, but I think Ohio is you know, if I had to bet on one state to be the story, it'd be Ohio.
One last thing. You talk about the enthusiasm for the president and whether the votes will come out for him, but the concerns on the Republican side is that Mitt Romney doesn't spark the base enough for them to come out and vote. What do you think we could potentially see, just a low turnout on both sides?
Well, I think if the Romney campaign concludes that they can't, you know, get the enthusiasm up, and, you know, like George W. Bush was able to do, or Ronald Reagan, you know, the choice would be to run a negative campaign and basically understand that they're only going to get their base and then try and drive down the president's number. I mean, that would be a tactic that you do in that circumstance.
Arthur Lupia, the Hal R. Varian Collegiate Professor of Political Science at the University of Michigan. Arthur, thank you very much for spending some time with us this evening.
Thank you.
Well, if you have any feedback, send it our way. Our email address, capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy on the board. This is 1320 WILS.